be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, and I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My God. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass This generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And dare I say, Happy New Year. Advent season is upon us, and it represents the new church calendar year. It's a time to think about renewal. It's a time for reflection. It's a time for hope. It's a time to relive the hope and expectation of the coming of the Messiah. So with all this good vibes going on and all this neat stuff, why is our gospel reading about Jesus talking to his disciples about the destruction of the earth? In chapter 21 of Luke from our reading today, some people refer to it as the little apocalypse. Now, for those of you who were here 2 weeks ago and have good memories, you heard me say those exact same words about Mark chapter 13. Turns out that our reading today in Luke is the twin chapter of Mark 13 from 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we read the first half of the story, and this week, we're reading the second half of the story. And we're in the same place in Jesus' life as we were 2 weeks ago. He's finished his 3-year ministry. He has been preaching in Jerusalem at the temple for several days. In a day or two, it's the Last Supper. So he knows he's only going to be in his earthly life with the disciples for several more days. And for some reason, he seems compelled that he needs to talk to his disciples about the end of times. And if you look at the story, it's not just about the destruction of the earth. It has a good ending. He talks about the Son of Man coming on a cloud. He talks about the redemption of the world. I like to think of it as the time that is the fulfillment of God's creation. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I hope it's the time when there's the end of pain and suffering. And to call this chapter the little apocalypse, I think it's a little unfair because that just implies it's about destruction and not about the whole story. And it reminds me of a time when I was young and I did not know the meaning of the word commencement, but I knew about commencement addresses at graduations. So I thought the word meant like end or final. And when I learned the true definition of commencement, that it means beginning or a new start, it was like an aha moment for me in that the graduation ceremony is not about the past, but it's about the hope to the future. So that prompted me to think about what is the word apocalypse, excuse me, it's hard to say that 100 times, apocalypse, what is that definition really? What is the definition? So I looked it up, and it does mean what we think, complete and utter destruction, but that's a modern definition of the word apocalypse. If you go back 500 or 600 years, it means insight or vision. If you look at the etymology and go back to the Greek roots, it comes in two parts, apo and kleption. And kleption means to cover. Apo is the reverse of that, like we put UN in front of a word, so it would mean uncover. And when you uncover something, you reveal something. An apocalypse is about revelation. And in fact, the last chapter of their Bible, called Revelation, is a translation from that Greek word, apocalypsis. So maybe this chapter that we're looking at today shouldn't be about a little apocalypse, would be about the little Revelation. Somehow we have perverted that word over the last 300 years, instead of meaning Revelation, meaning one part of the story in the book of Revelation, which is the destruction side of the story. So, why is Jesus telling all this story to these disciples? From 2 weeks ago, we got a couple of lessons. One was not to be led astray on our journey, in our journey of faith, that all the pain and suffering in the world that we have to go through, not to lose our faith that we think that God has forsaken the world. That is not true. Jesus is telling us that is not true. We also talked about provoking one another to do good deeds. And provoke has a great, interesting etymology to it as well. It comes from the Latin provocare, which means to call forth. So when you provoke somebody, you're calling somebody to do something. And in this lesson today, the continuation of the story, Jesus asks us to be vigilant. And part of that is to be vigilant about the new the end of times and the new beginning to come, but it's also about being vigilant day to day and seeing the presence of God in the world and in our lives daily. And Advent is the time of the season for us to reflect and think about these things. It is time for hope. It's time to think about new beginnings. It's time to relive the experience of the hope and expectation of the coming Savior. And it's time to open up our minds and hearts to the presence of God in the world. That doesn't mean, though, that we should spend all Advent just sequestered in our little room doing our little reflections. Jesus wants us out in the world. Jesus shows that example throughout his ministry. He would be preaching and doing his ministry, and then he would take his time and go and take his private time and pray and reconnect with God. Jesus wants us to do that as well. And this is the time of year that we need to be out there in the world. We've got a secular Christmas, and that maybe doesn't quite match up with our beliefs. But it's not all bad. Yes, there's some consumerism going on, some greediness, but also there's a lot of good going on. You got people buying presents for each other. You got people having compassion for each other. You got people going out there helping those that are that are less fortunate to us. So there's a lot of good things going on during the Christmas season, even if it doesn't match up exactly. And Jesus wants us out there participating in that. And if that means singing a Christmas song every now and then, I don't think the Episcopal police will come after you, even though it's Advent season. So I encourage each of you to take this Advent time, to take some personal time, to separate yourself from the world for little bits of period and reflect, open up your minds and heart, see what God is saying to you. Open up for God to provoke you, to call you forth, to go out into the world and do God's work in the world. Amen.
Let's profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 8 in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret.
Steve. Nicole. Courtney and J.R. Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jenny, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Hay, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Jim, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joycey, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Pat, Morgan Ray, Raphael, David, Randy, Judy, Jeff, Melvin and Laura, Patricia, Norma,
send your spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially John Lee Hawkins, George Haygood, Amy Cox Thomas, Bob Guthrie, Indy Sargent, and Caitlin Whalen.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace, Jerry. Love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude, Thaddeus, Francis, Mary, Dominic, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you forever. Amen. Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.